Lord.
We're going to finish off chapter 16 tonight. We'll just work our way through it. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. See if the Lord, we want the Lord to speak to us tonight and change our lives. Thank the Lord. Father, we thank you that we're able to come round your word. And we do pray, my God, that you minister to us tonight, my Lord Jesus. That, Lord, that we realise that you're the centre of everything, Lord. That you've done so much for us, my Lord. Not just saved us, Lord, but want a relationship with us and love us, my God. And we thank you for the great salvation you've given us. In your name, Lord. Amen. So we're finishing off from where Joseph preached last week. David got anointed by Samuel for being the next king. But I want to start from verse 13. It says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." So there you got, that is where the transference comes. Saul's kingdom's come away from him. David's been anointed with oil. Oil's a symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Oil's anointing. But David's been anointed and now he's got the power. God's going to give him the power to be the next king. And it says, from that day, it was the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So from that point on, Saul's just going to go on a downward spiral. Now, the Holy Spirit's workings in the Old Testament is not the same as what it is today. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only come upon certain people in their power, where God empowered them to serve. Like with Samson. You know, when they said the Philistines are upon you, Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, and he beat them all to death, didn't he? Beat them rotten. But it was a work for service, where for us as believers, it's completely different how the Holy Spirit works. See, we have the Holy Spirit upon salvation, indwells the heart of the believer. You know, Jesus said, "When I go, I'm going to send another helper or comforter, the Holy Spirit. He'll come alongside you." So we got the Holy Spirit indwelling in here. Amen. Right? In the Old Testament, it weren't like that. He only come upon certain people. You see, even though like he dwells in here, he's so much more. Because the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, "In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." So he saved us and he's given us the seal of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. Now, a guarantee, when you buy something, you get a guarantee with it. You go and buy something electrical, it comes with 1 year guarantee, automatic. So if anything goes wrong, go in and get another one. But God's made the guarantee and he's given us the seal of the Holy Spirit as the guarantee. Right? And it's with promise as well. We're sealed with promise until the day of the redemption. We're the purchased possession. Me and you are the purchased possession. And God's proved that to us by sealing us with his Holy Spirit. So until that day comes, listen, one day when he comes to redeem us, we're his inheritance. And what a thing that is. Don't even think about this. It's a very hard thing to grasp that me and you are God's inheritance. That's why. I'm not being funny. There's nothing special in us, is there? That God should look down upon us and go, "They're going to be my inheritance." I think that's, even for even God to even think of us, or even not look down upon us and give us even a chance, I think that in itself. But through the death and resurrection of our Lord, we are the inheritance. In fact, the Bible says we're co-heirs with Christ. And that's something we should take hold of and take hope in. Because when I read scriptures like that, and it's the promise of God. And when you go through things and you find things tough and hard, when you read scriptures like that, that, you know, he sealed us, we're his purchased possession, we're purchased, it increases your faith and gives you hope. That when God promises something, you know it's going to happen, don't you? we can take hold of the promises of God. You see, not only are we temples now of the Holy Spirit, because we just seem to think, look, Jesus has saved us, and we're just going to go to church for the rest of our lives. But there's so much more. The old Trinity wants to get involved in your life. The Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. We get to the Father through the Lord. In our prayer life, we go to the Father in Jesus' name. They all want a relationship with us. And we could take it so for granted, or not even for granted, we could take it for cheap. Like we think of a prayer life as something where, oh, it's all right, if I get 2 minutes, I'll pray to God. You know, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and we just think, oh, don't worry, God will forgive me of it. God's graceful. We can take it so cheap. But yet, it costs God so much. It cost him so much. He gave his only begotten son for us upon the cross. And yet, some days in my own Christianity, you probably wouldn't think I'm a Christian by the end of that day. And it's cheap. And it's wrong on my side. But I thank God for this, that he's faithful and I'm faithless. Let God don't hold things against me. If I have a bad day and do wrong, God don't look down upon me and look down upon you and go, right, bless you lot, see you later, and chuck us out. He don't do that, does he? He comes alongside, picks us up, brushes us off and go, right, come on, tomorrow's a different day. Let's go again. He cares for us, the Bible says, and he loves us. And that's what a loving father does. You see, all these great men and women you read of the Old Testament, when you read of David and Abraham and Elijah and Elisha and all these great men and these people of the Lord, they never had the Holy Spirit in the same way that me and you have got the Holy Spirit. What's the Bible say? He who is least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than these. Even John the Baptist, who was named like the greatest born among women, wasn't he? He never had the Holy Spirit like me and you've got it. Hallelujah. What a blessing that is. And that's why we should be Spirit-filled and preach that. We should be Spirit-filled. Be led by the Spirit. In fact, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because we've got to be Spirit-led. You see, when we see this, like David's been anointed with the Holy Spirit. And then I think it's a sad thing. When you read verse 14, that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and a distressing spirit came upon him. How sad is that? How sad is that? Saul could have been many things, but his own flesh got in the way and he couldn't. You see, with us, right, even though the Holy Spirit's working is different, you see time and time again, and you've all seen it, how the decline of how we can quench the Holy Spirit in our lives. How you see someone in a backslidden state and falling away and just backslid, and you see that, and you're watching them. You're watching the decline of the work of the Spirit in their lives because of sin and because of the working of the flesh. And it don't matter how much that we warn them. When we warn people, they don't take notice. They don't take notice. You can see it happening. And you can say, you're going this way, sort it out, because it's so much pain coming. But they just drift. And it's sad to see. It's sad to see, because you get, over the years, how many years have seen people that's been on fire for the Lord, doing all these great things, and you see it happening. And you look at them there, and they've gone back into the world. And there's just a shell of the person they was before. It's sad, isn't it? But don't think that we can't get in that state. Don't ever think that we're too prideful that we can't get in that state. If we give in to the flesh and in sin and not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, we're walking in worldliness. That's where it ends up. You just be a shell of your former self. Listen, you come back to the Lord. Come back, but sin keeps its mark on you. It keeps its mark. You never get rid of it. And you're never the same. Someone that's been in a backslidden state is never the same when they come back. They just, you can see it in them. When you talk to them, they're not the same. Because it leaves the mark. That's why it's so important to be spirit-led. That's why we should read our words daily and be fed on the word of God, speaking to the Lord, seeking him. Say, Lord, lead me by your spirit, Lord. And when we go through it, we can see, even though David never had the Holy Spirit, had we had him, he knew the importance of it. You see, the only other one I can think of who this happened to was Samson, wasn't it? He said when the Holy Spirit departed from Samson, and he didn't even know. How much of a chap was he that the Holy Spirit departed and he never knew it? How much of the man of the flesh? How much of the flesh must we be that we don't even know that the Holy Spirit's departed? Because, listen, we can come to church week in, week out. Don't mean we're spirit-led. Just this church is packed all over the world. It don't mean you're spirit-led. Spirit-led Christians are ones that are in fellowship with God. They're spirit-led. They're the ones that are spirit-led. They're the ones that God's working through. Because they're in fellowship with God. And that's what we've got to be, spirit-led. And well, I read a commentary by, it's only a couple of words out of it, by Alfred Edersheim. And it's right, what he said. He said, with Saul, the Spirit of Jehovah departed from him, not only as the source of his might and power, but even as the spirit of his sound mind. Even of the sound mind, because he's right in it. When the Spirit departs and we're walking in flesh and in sin, we can't think spiritual things, can we? We're just overtaken. And you see a distressing spirit that God sent to him, that God sent, and it's just completely ruined him. From this point forth, it's ruined him. Now, people struggle with that God's sent a distressing spirit upon him. People say, where can God send a distressing spirit? Well, when God's done it later on in the scriptures, 1 Kings 22 with Micaiah, with Ahab, he sent a spirit that said, I'm going to be a lying spirit. I'm going to be a lying spirit in all his prophets to lead him a certain way. God can use who he wants. Didn't he use Satan with Job? It was God who chucked Job up, wasn't it? Go and attack him, Job. Don't take his life. Attack him. Leave his health. God allowed the enemy to come against us. But we got victory in Jesus Christ. That's the difference. The victory is already won with us. We walk in victory. In fact, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. That means Jesus has had the victory, but we just got to walk and claim the victory in Jesus Christ. He's already won the fight, and we take the prize of it. You see, and when you get to Psalm 51, when David sinned with Bathsheba, Psalm 51's the prayer of David when he's at prayer of repentance. And halfway through that psalm, he says this. He says, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That's what David said, because he saw the decline of Saul. He saw that a man without the Holy Spirit, that a man who had the Spirit of God upon his life, he saw it had departed from Saul. And even though David repented, what did he cry out? Don't let me be like that man, Lord. I've sinned, I repent, but don't take your Holy Spirit off me like you did Saul. Because he saw the decline it had in Saul's life. How it sent Saul mad that he never had the Holy Spirit. And listen, if we haven't got the Holy Spirit, we're just flesh-led people. What are we doing? We're pitiful people, aren't we? We're just a shell of a Christian. There's nothing there. God forbid we get to the state that the only Christianity we got is in this all. We want to be spirit-filled and want to go out and win the lost and do all these things for God. But it's easy to get churchianity, isn't it? Church eyes. We come in, we can say the right things. Say the right things. God bless you, love you, and all that stuff. But it's spirit-filled. It's the spirit-filled man or woman. When someone's struggling, they'll drive out and go and find them. Or if they're going through something and financially it's the spirit-filled man or woman who's listening to the voice of the Lord to go and help. It's a spirit-filled man and woman that are going to put peace into a situation God uses. It's easy to be in church and put our arms around one another, but your Christianity is to one another outside the church. When we're not in this building, that's when it matters. That's when people remember. It's all right saying, I pray for you. We pray for this one, pray for that one. But are we going to this one and that one? Are we listening to the call of God? Or is it, when God's putting someone upon our hearts to go and help and go and visit, are we listening? Or are we going, no, I'll do it tomorrow. God's saying, on tonight, do it next week. No, get up and go. No, next week could be too late. Tomorrow could be too late. When God puts someone upon your heart to go and see, to go and talk to, go the minute he tells you. Go the minute he tells you. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Be that spirit-filled man and woman of God who's in fellowship with God day by day. Who's letting his word impact your life. That you can distinguish between his voice and the enemy's. Be that man or woman of God. You know, don't be like Saul, who's just a complete, ended up a man of the flesh. Even David understood that point, didn't he? What is a man without the Spirit of God? He's nothing, and he's nothing. A man or woman without the Spirit of God, they would have just dead, aren't they? We need to be Spirit-filled and walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, in fact, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. That's what the Bible says. How do you walk by the fruit in the Spirit? You read his word, apply it with your life, and you talk to God every day and let him talk to you. That's it. That's simple as. It's nothing spectacular. We got the guidebook, our instruction book, how to get to heaven, how to walk on this earth. He's empowered us to say no to sin, to say no to the flesh. But mine and your trouble is, we don't want to say no. The Bible says sin is pleasing to the flesh. That's why the Bible says there's a war inside you going on. That one, the sin wants to pull you this way, and the Holy Spirit's pulling you that way. But don't let sin have such a strength on your life that you can't feel the pull of the Holy Spirit trying to pull you away from it. Always be sensitive to his calling out. Because it says, Saul's servant said to him, surely, verse 15, a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player of the harp, and it shall be he will play with his hand, and when the distressing spirit from God shall come upon you, you shall be well. I don't understand that verse, to be honest with you. I've read it and I think, right, one, I could get how they understood the distressing spirits upon him. But why the harp? Why does the music, if one plays the music, why that? It's only here you read it, isn't it? It's not like a dumb thing. If someone's got a distressing spirit upon them. Now, I understand when unsaved people come into a church, yeah, they get peace from the worship. They get a sense of peace or they get emotional or things like that. But this was a distressing spirit upon him, wasn't it? It's an odd verse for me to understand. Maybe someone could help me out. But they see, didn't they? They saw Saul with the Spirit of God on his life, and then they saw without Saul without the Spirit of God in his life. They saw the difference between the Holy Spirit and the distressing spirit. They saw it. And don't think people can't see that in me and you. They can tell when me and you are spirit led or if we're led by the flesh. We can talk a good Christianity, but it's by what we do is what people see. That's what they take notice of. I could talk the best Christianity in the world. But if I'm not living it, people just call me an hypocrite, an actor. You see, and I understand, like, there's people come here in churches, in our church. The atmosphere, a peaceful atmosphere amongst the believers, when they're worshipping the Lord, you can understand it briefly. They sense comfort from it. They might be, oh, I lost someone. They come in and think, oh, just to hear the words of God, or if I could say a prayer. It brings comfort, but that's as far as it goes. It's only when they accept the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords they get true peace and true comfort. That's where it comes from. That's an even with myself. If I'm having a rough day or things get hard, put a bit of worship on in the motor, you feel in your spirit, you're lifted. Music does do that. I feel lifted. Normally I put a bit of Nino or Felix on, not so much Joseph, but you feel lifted. No booze in here. No booze in here. But you do, the worship is something, because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness, isn't it? When you're there and your worship's going on in your heart, because I don't know about you, I could be having an hard day, listen to a bit of worship, and I'll listen to it and I find myself worshipping the Lord. And you're in fellowship with Him, and even in your spirit you feel, oh, thank you, Lord, that's just what I needed. That's just what I needed. But in verse 17, it says, Saul said to his servants, provide for me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valour, a man of war, prudent in speech, a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. So how about that? What a testimony David's got. And they listed all these things of him, but one thing they did know was that the Lord was with David. And that's what they did know. And that's a question for me and you. If people look at mine and your life and see how we walk, do they know that the Lord is with us? Is our testimony, does it state the fact that the Lord is with us? Or is our testimony one of, well, I'm not sure if they're Christian or not. Don't know if they've got the Lord. They're just like me. Because there's a difference. They saw the distressing spirit with Saul, and they saw that the Lord was with David. The world's got to see that we're different. The world's got to see that we've got the Lord. You know, we don't get the Lord, the Bible says, and we should be on an hill. We should be the light of the world. He says you don't get a lamp and put it in a basket or push it under a bed. We're the light of the world. We're followers of Christ. We've got to let the world know we're followers of Christ. In this world of darkness that we're in, we might be the only light that someone's got. And we've got to shine for Jesus Christ. We've got to shine for Him. It's not, I want it to be said of me, He's got the Lord with Him. You just want it said of you that people can see that. Because it's so important, isn't it? It's a lost world out there. Loads going to hell. Paul said, if no one goes and tells them about Him, about Jesus, how are they going to get saved? How are they going to rear if no one's going to tell them? We've got to let people know who we belong to. In fact, we got the best thing. If someone won the lottery, they'd be like, straight away, you know they won the lottery, wouldn't you? They'd have a brand new motor. They'd have a new house. They'd go to Turkey, get a new set of Nashes, new bed of air. Right? You know it, wouldn't you? You know full well they've won it. But listen, we got Jesus Christ. How much more? Listen, to be honest, this corrupt body that I've got, He's going to make incorruptible one day, and it's better than what Turkey's got to offer. That's what it is. Jesus is so much more. And yet we can be like mice in front of people with Him, can't we? They say nothing. But yet we can talk about all the rubbish that goes on in this world. People have got to know who we belong to. In fact, the Bible calls us soldiers for Christ. And listen, we're His purchased possession, and He's sealed us. I want other people to be His purchased possession and be sealed. But He's gone now, and He says, listen, they knew it was with David. And the last verses, he says, 19 and 23, he says, therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favour in my sight. And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take the harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would be departed from him. So basically, it's telling you that David was took in the King Saul's service from that day forward. Right? In fact, I think it was end of the, I don't know if it's the end of 14 or 15, it said Saul started to take all the good men from everywhere for his own, and he's took David. But when we read on about this, he's there as King Saul's armour bearer. When you read on from there on, it gets to the point where even Saul can see that God's with David. And in so much so, he tries to kill him. He tries to kill him and get rid of him. But for us, there's a lesson for me and you there. Right? Listen, he was with Saul daily, right? And Saul was refreshed all the time, every time David played the harp. Listen, unsaved people could be around me and you. And they might feel better because we're Christians. We're not here to make people feel better. We're here to give them Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to give them. If someone's comfortable in mine and your company because we're not telling them that they need Jesus, we're in the wrong. Not them. They look in what we've got and we make them feel better. We got to tell them the gospel. That's what we got to do. Because God forbid that someone could spend time and weeks and months in our company and yet we don't give them the light of the gospel. Because at the end of the day, when they stand before the judgment seat, it'd be blood of mine in your hands, wouldn't it? That's what it'd be, simple as that. But be spirit-led, amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord.